happened to you, didn't it? Right? What's your feeling? So, we're just going to recap a little bit of the 11th canto that we're discussing in our So yesterday evening we did beyond renunciation and knowledge. What is beyond renunciation and knowledge? Pure devotional service. But then one question came up yesterday that it was it Krishna him? Bhakti Devi and her two sons. So his point was, if you get rid of the sons, then the mother is not going to be happy. Like he was, the point actually, he didn't ask the question in this way. He asked that if the son were, Bhakti Devi has two sons. How many of you know the names of those two sons? Very good. Ganeshu, Gyan and Vaya. And so Krishna Chan, the question was based on that. Gyan and Vaya is the son of two mothers, two sons of two mothers. So, if the children are rejected, then how would the mother feel? And so what was the answer to that? How many of you remember Radharani? Give her the mic. In that respect, we spoke about two kinds of knowledge and two kinds of renunciation.
So, the two kinds of knowledge and?
Two kinds of renunciation.
So,
yes. You see, what we give up is the endeavor for knowledge and renunciation. Like, you see, in our spiritual progress, we naturally make endeavor for knowledge. We make endeavor for renunciation. That we give up. And when we give that up, then we achieve pure devotion. And this pure devotional service, Bhakti Devi, has two kinds. Knowledge and renunciation. So they automatically follow, they naturally follow the mind. So the point here is, when one takes to devotional service, knowledge and renunciation automatically becomes there. So it is not that one is endeavoring for that, but it's automatically there. For example, like, when one practices devotional service, he naturally develops knowledge. And naturally renunciation takes place. Like when one is naturally not interested in materialistic activity, mundane sense gratification. That is, you know, the regard. It's just automatic. When one cultivates bhakti, when one practices pure devotion, renunciation naturally appears because naturally loses interest for mundane enjoyment. So what I was saying is the two types. One is knowledge that is acquired out of endeavor. Knowledge out of intellectual pursuits. And there is another kind of knowledge that naturally dawns in the heart. Right? That knowledge is known as Dibhogyan, which is Rive Prakashi, manifest in the heart. So this knowledge is transcendental knowledge or Dibhogyan. Jai Shri Shri Swami Jai Shri Shri Radha Madanmohan Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Jai Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada. Another, so this is what I meant, the two types of things. Mundane knowledge which is acquired out of intellectual pursuit, and spiritual knowledge that automatically manifests in the heart. And similarly, renunciation. One is, you know, naked, not this, I don't want this, right? So that is one kind of renunciation. He leaves home, goes to the forest, right? And performs, you know, severe austerities to control his mind. But a devotee doesn't endeavor for that kind of knowledge. But what actually happens is, in spite of being in the middle of everything, he is detached. Because devotional service is given in the highest taste, therefore he is not interested in work. So this is again, renunciation, two types of renunciation. One type of renunciation is out of very, very sincere and, you know, troublesome endeavor. He frees himself or tries to free himself from the natural inclination of the senses to enjoy the senses. And the other one, by getting the higher phase, he naturally loses interest for lower things. So this is the second kind of renunciation. So what happens with devotional service is this knowledge and renunciation of second category. The heart becomes enlightened from within. Like this has been sometimes described as appearing of Krishna as the sun. Right? When the sun appears, there is no endeavor to know. Like with the appearance of the sun, you see everything, including the sun. So, spiritual knowledge is something like that. And renunciation is getting the higher taste. One loses the interest for the lower taste, or appeal for the lower taste. And as a result of that, he doesn't have to run away from anything. He can be in the middle of everything, but internally he is completely detached. So this is our process, and this renunciation is now known as Yukta Vaikarya. By engaging everything in the service of Krishna, by endeavoring for giving pleasure to Krishna's senses, he loses interest for sense gratification, enjoying through sense gratification. Yeah, you have a question? You lost the mic? How is this sound sounding? This is alright. For me, when it's for me, it's alright. So anyway, in that respect you can also consider a rich man's son. Because the father gives him everything. He knows the father will give me everything. So, does he make any endeavor for collecting things for himself? So, pure devotional service is something like that. Being, first thing is, surrendering unto Krishna and being engaged in serving Krishna. A devotee comes to a situation, such a situation, that he begins to see how Krishna is taking care of him in all respects. There is no need to endeavor for anything else separately. And also there is no need to run away from the Father. Rather, be engaged, be with the Father and take care of the Father's business. So that's what a devotee does. He takes care of Krishna's business. And he sees, when a rich man's son is engaged in taking care of his business, what the father will not give him. Okay. So, this chapter, chapter 12th chapter of the 11th canto is describing beyond renunciation and knowledge. And what is beyond renunciation of knowledge? Only the devotees know. I say only the devotees of ISKCON. Because Prabhupada so wonderfully implemented the principle of pure devotional service, the principle of Yukta Vairagya, in such a wonderful way that the devotees are always experienced. What is beyond renunciation and knowledge? Beyond renunciation and knowledge is pure devotion. And in that respect, Krishna made a very wonderful statement. Let us try to remember that. Let us try to preserve it in our memory in order to understand what we are actually doing in this God. Even though one engages with great endeavor in the mystic yoga system, philosophical speculation, charity, vows, penances, ritualistic sacrifices, teaching of Vedic mantras to others, personal study of the Vedas, or the renounced order of life, still one cannot achieve meaning. Through all these endeavors, one cannot achieve Krishna. Whereas the inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the gopis, cows, unmoving creatures such as the twin Arjuna trees, animals, living entities with stunted consciousness such as bushes and thickets, and snakes such as Kaliya, all achieve the perfection of life by unalloyed love for me, and thus very easily achieve me. They did study the Vedas. They did not, all these residents of Vrindavan, they did not perform great austerity. They did not give in charity or perform sacrifices, chanted Vedic mantras. But simply by loving Krishna, they achieve Krishna. And the wonderful thing about Krishna is, I'll go back to Krishna now is telling Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, by association with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material and gratification. Such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotees. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, comes under the control of his devotees, comes under somebody's control. Can you imagine what it means to control Krishna? Not even praying to Krishna, Krishna give me this, Krishna do this for me. Krishna do this. Does it remind you of somebody? Huh? Mother Yashoda? Do you remember what Mother Yashoda did? She was speaking her head. You naughty boy, I am going to teach you a lesson today. And look at Krishna, what did he do? You all are very well acquainted with all these activities and pastimes of Krishna, because the month of Damodara is just over. And during the month of Damodara, you sang his prayers every evening. Huh? Mother Yashoda is chastising Krishna, and what did Krishna do? First, Krishna saw Mother Yashoda coming. Huh? And what did she do? Yashoda ji, seeing Mother Yashoda, alukhala bhavamana, jumped out of her grinding mortar and ran. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can anybody ever imagine this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Or can anybody ever believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is behaving like this? And he ran. Dhavaman. And then Mother Yashoda caught him. Yashodati Alukhala Abhamana. And then Mother Yashoda catches him and seeing the stick in his mother's hand, Rudantam Mohur Netra Yugmangita. He's crying. It'll be very difficult for anyone to believe that this is the Supreme Personality of God. There is a, what kind of Supreme Personality of God is here? He is crying. Why did God cry? Rudanta Mohan extends. And with the back of his hands, he is wiping his tears. Karam Bhute Dut Mena Satanta. Now here lies the secret. In normal condition, one cannot really believe. Normal conditions, one cannot understand. But when one comes in contact with the pure devotee, what happens to you? Did you believe, today do you believe about all these activities that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is enacting? How many of you believe in it? And why do you believe? Or how did you come to this state of believing? Ramdaswar, I forgot your...
Prameshwar.
Yeah. Because of the word of Shri Prabhupada. Because somehow or other we came in contact with the pure devotee. And as a result of that, we have believed. And then, as you go on and on and on, this faith becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Because we begin to see the reason behind the Lord acting like that. So this is what Krishna means, that he becomes bound by the love of his Guru. He is not, this is also again described by Damodar. He is bound not by any rope. Bhakti Bhattam. He is bound by his devotion. By another heart. By the devotee's life. He is bound by the Lord. And as then this chapter again describes like why? Because when Krishna becomes bound by the love of his devotees, then he becomes compelled to fulfill their desire. The devotee wants, and Krishna blesses. This is the fundamental principle of Krishna's pastimes. Pastimes. Krishna is acting in a certain way. Because the devotees wanted him to do such. Devotees desired such. Desired that. Devotees desired, Krishna said, okay. And don't you see that always in Vrindavan? The gopis say, Krishna dance. And Krishna begins to. Devotees want Krishna in a certain way. Devotees want Krishna to do something, and Krishna becomes a puppet in their hands. So that is the point that Krishna is making here. That by no other spiritual endeavor or spiritual practice, spiritual activity, he doesn't come to this. Only through the pure devotion of his devotee that Krishna becomes so light. And that's why Krishna gives liberation very easily. But he doesn't want to give devotion. Because when he gives devotion, then he is so light. Such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotee. One may perform the Ashtanga Yoga system, engage in philosophical analysis of the elements of material nature, practice non-violence and other ordinary principles of piety, chant the Vedas, perform penances, take to the renounced order of life, execute sacrificial performances, and dig wells, plant trees, and perform other public welfare activities, give in charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigod, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even by performing such activities, one does not bring me under his control. So all these activities cannot bring them under their control. But what brings Krishna under control is pure devotion. And how is pure devotional service achieved? How can one achieve pure devotional service? Association of pure devotion. So this is the wonderful aspect of pure devotional service. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Bodh Premanand Devi. Okay, now I'll open up some question answer session. Yeah. Mike.
Krishna
because of many years lifetimes of pious activities, one eventually comes to associate with the devotee. And it is by the association or by the instruction of the pure devotee that one achieves it. Gyanavan Maam Prakottati. Prakottati, surrender. And that surrender also takes place to the surrender of surrendering to a pure devotee. In this respect, there is a statement by Prabodhananda Saraswati Sahu, an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is saying, Yatha Yatha Gaura Padara Binde, Binde Tavakti Krita Punna Rashi. Punna Rashi, Punna Punna means Rashi means heaps of fire. Due to the heaps of fire activity, one surrenders to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya. So surrendering to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not happening just by an accidental chance. It is happening due to our heaps of fire activities. And this heaps of fire activities is actually taking us to the lotus feet or surrendering to the lotus feet of a devotee of Chaitanya. So this is another way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it is, rather this is one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, Prabhupada says, I am creating the good fortune for you. So, in one hand, it is by our heaps of pious activities we came to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, and then Srila Prabhupada is creating our good fortune. Our highest activity is not creating the good fortune. It is Prabhupada who is actually creating our good fortune. Next question, yes, Bhakti Mahari.
Thank you for that. You mentioned beautifully how the education of your devotee helped us in advancing Krishna consciousness. In one of the talks, you mentioned that the way of the real association with Krishna doesn't take place by taking the instructions and following them. You see that even if you get the instructions from individual master or our authority, but then it has to do lack of maturity, we commit many mistakes. So how does it affect our spiritual life if we are not able to perform as per the expectation of authority or spiritual master?
Very good. You see, mistakes will be made, you know, like, because we don't become perfect straight. Generally, because our conditioning is so deep-rooted, that it will take time. And while we are progressing in our spiritual path, you know, yes, sometimes mistakes will be made. But the thing is that when you make a mistake and recognize that you made a mistake, then you must try to correct it. There is no, it's not bad to make a mistake, but not to learn from a mistake. To make a mistake is not so bad, but not to learn from a mistake, really. I think. So make a mistake and learn. I was very much impressed with that statement by Winston Churchill. Young men of 20 to 25 go out in the world, do things, make mistakes, and learn. Yes, make mistakes, but do things. And while you are doing things, you make mistakes. But learn from it. And when you learn from the mistake, then you correct it. Give me
a second. Good morning. भगवान के नाम का कई गुरु कीर्तन करते हैं, भगवान के नाम का जप करते हैं, फिर भगवान का प्रसाद ग्रहण करने के बाद भी हमारी जीवन की तीव्रता शांत नहीं होती, जहाँ कहीं
तो करते रहो लव और देते रहो, ठीक है? जो मैं वही कह रहा था, जो बुरा आदत पड़ गया बहुत दिन, उसको सुधारना क्या एक मिनट में होगा या एक दिन में होगा या एक साल में होगा, पता नहीं है कितना टाइम लगेगा, बल्कि कोशिश करते रहो करते रहो, है ना? और भगवान से कृपा की प्रतीक्षा करो, भगवान को कृपा की, ठीक है? और साधु संघ करते, साधु संघ से ही ये
संभव। Because it seems that by Prabhupada's mercy, he has given him that detailed jnana in his books, very extensively. Even prior to, let's say, the process of qualification for the detailed jnana in any sense.
Yeah, very good question. You see, it is there But when it is a matter of dawning in the heart, then we cannot force it. Just as we cannot force the sun to rise, we simply have to wait for the sun to rise. So our attitude is we keep on endeavoring. Yes, the knowledge is there. That is, endeavoring is there to acquire that knowledge. But that endeavor will not give us the knowledge. That endeavor is the sadhana. We are practicing. The practice is necessary. This practice is like keeping your eyes open. Don't fall asleep when the sun rises. Our endeavor is simply to remain awake. And when the sun comes up, so it will make that, you know. By your endeavor will not get that. Just as the sun is not going to rise by our endeavor. But at the same time, we must endeavor to have the ability to see the sun. That is keeping your eyes open. And when the sun comes up, yes. Thank you.
Maharaj, how can we get the maximum benefit by association with your devotee?
Well, remain open to the to what they offer. Remain receptive. That is the attitude. Those who are unreceptive, they can't receive anything. The pure devotee is giving an inconceivable wealth. But, you know, we should be in a position to receive. A simple example can be given. You are thirsty. And the sun and the shower rain is showering. Even if you just stand there, that will quench your thirst. You have to cup your hands to collect the water. So that is the thing of it. So I mean, that is, remain respectful towards the devotee, advanced devotees. And when they are, and from them, just see what they are offering and receive it with respect. And that will be good. That will be the rest. At the back there is some other question, hands came up. Yes. Do you have a question, dear? Okay. I couldn't get it.
Yes. Can you give me some comparison of material existence compared to the tree? So like the trunk of the tree where the material existence.
He's controlling the mic. Say it now.
Taking the cut of the pattern of the existence for a tree. So we start with the trunk and the female is the shiva nature and one room of happiness, one room of distress, but incidentally attached to the rest of it.
Not so many, just one person.
Compare material like a tree.
Oh, okay. The material nature like a tree. Let me just open up that. The tree has how many fruits?
Two.
And the tree has how many branches? Anyway, let me just see them. begins with, the tree has two seeds. Hundreds of roots. The tree has two seeds. Good that you know, like you brought it up, because we need it to recap that. The tree has two seeds. How many roots? Hundreds of roots. Three lower trunks and five upper trunks. It produces five flavors and has 11 branches and a nest made by two birds. The tree is covered by three types of bark, gives two fruits and extends up to the sun. And it has two fruits. So, what are the seeds of this tree? Fire and impure activities. What are the 100 roots of the tree? Material desire. What are the three lower trunk? Three modes of material nature. What are the five upper trunk? Five gross material elements. And the tree produces five flavors. What are those five flavors? They are the object of the senses. Like sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. And it has 11 branches. What are those 11 branches? The five knowledge acquiring senses, five working senses, and one internal. And the two birds in the tree are the super soul and the spirit soul, the individual soul and the super soul. And there are three types of bark of the tree. They are air, bile, and mucus. And the two fruits of the tree are happiness. Does this sum up our material existence? So now you remember? Very well. Since the mind is at the observation,
abandon the way it must trust as well as the procedure of supplementary mental treatment and their positive and negative induction. Disregard that which has been heard and that which is to be heard. Simply be checked of me alone, for I am the Supreme Personality of God, situated within the heart of all conditioned souls. Please judge of me wholeheartedly and be, and by my grace, free me from fear in all circumstances.
This is what I
think. Why is it so difficult? My question is, why is it so difficult for humans to understand this and to follow?
Yeah. That is the thing Krishna is telling time and time again, but because of our dull head. And that's why you have to associate with you. Because they give us the reminder. Good. Yes, Krishna Chan.
So this particular chapter is so wonderfully explaining the glory of the Lord. And we are trying to engage with the Lord, like physically we try to meditate, etc. The thing is that several years passed like chanting and all, but the mind, although physically we are in the mind. It is not always Krishna that we remember. There are so many other things, so many distractions. And as I look back for the past 7 years, it's not that year after year the attention is increasing. It has been practically the same because much betterment in my attention. Why does that happen? How can we become more attentive in our devotional practice?
Okay. Very good. Yeah. You see, as you are saying, the activity of the mind, yes, it is actually centered on that. And mind, all the mind's activities can be generally, all the mind's activities are generally for, or rather centered around the body. And until and unless we make Krishna the center, the real result will be. Through devotional service, what we are actually learning is to make Krishna the center instead of ourselves. So that is the fundamental or basic difference between materialistic way of life and the spiritual life. Me as the center of Krishna. So now we go back to that expression, Krishna consciousness. Generally we are me consciousness. And from that we have to change it to Krishna consciousness. It's not a matter of time. It is a matter of being able to do it. But anyway, that you are practicing is good. And through the practice, not only through the practice, that's why there is so much emphasis on the association of pure devotees. Because through the pure devotee, we actually understand how to practice and what is the process of, perfect process of practice. And the pure devotee actually enables us how to shift from me consciousness to Krishna consciousness. Okay, so I'll end now. Okay, last question, Vajeshu.
Krishna Yoga, as you mentioned, we need the structure of pure devotee, okay? So how can we recognize the pure devotee? Because that one here is pure devotee.
Yeah. You see, there are various ways to recognize. One is, the first way to recognize how he is dressing. Does he have tila? Does he have kantimala? That is the external appearance. So when you see that somebody is wearing tila, kantimala, etc., preferably shaved head also, then you know that here is a devotee. And then you hear from him and see how much he is speaking about Krishna. That is the next symptom to recognize the pure devotee. Then the third consideration is, what is the link between his speech and his action? Is he practicing what he is speaking? So these are the basic symptoms to recognize. First is of course appearance. It is the first thing that actually makes us recognize somebody, is the visual perception. And that's what Prabhupada wanted us to have, wear tila, kantimala, dressed in a certain way. That is a Vedic culture. In Vedic culture, by dress one can recognize the occupation of a person. A Brahmana will dress in a certain way. Kshatriya will dress in a certain way. Vaishya will dress in a certain way. Shudra will dress in a certain way. Doctor will dress in a certain way. Carpenter will dress in a certain way. So this way, Vedic culture is so systematic that just by the way they are dressing, one could actually make out what is occupation. And then, similarly, a Vaishnava, by his dress you can recognize the Vaishnava. But of course nowadays it's very difficult even to recognize the Vaishnava. Sometimes you'll see Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying that Tila Sankar Pokri Pada Valaya Mala Tila Sankar Pokri Pada Nakitila Valaya Mala Dekhte Vaishnava Nakitila Valaya Dekhte Vaishnava Matu Ashole Shakto Kari. He looks like a Vaishnava. He has tilak, he has kantimala. But the appearance wise he looks like a Vaishnava. But his activities are like that, shakta. Shakta means one who is trying to enjoy the material. So, so that's why in Kali Yuga it's very difficult to recognize because of Varnashankara. Everything is mixed up. People are not honest. That's why it's difficult to recognize them by their dress. But generally, so otherwise, okay, dress will give you an indication, but then don't just take him on his face back. So see how he's speaking. How much he, that's what Prabhupada is saying, that you want to recognize the Vaishnava or if you're a devotee of the Lord, by seeing how much he is speaking about Krishna. And then how he is acting. Whether his action syncs with his speech. Okay, thank you very much. All glory is to Shri. Oh, I said you had a question. Sadhana is in his book. He had his hand.
So, unless someone has relaxation, how can he get into the support?
Yes, but I mentioned that. You see, that renunciation doesn't come to endeavor. This renunciation is continuous. Okay? Like when you love somebody and when you want to give him something or do something, do you have to make an effort or it will happen naturally? So the point is, renunciation and knowledge in devotional service is a spontaneous as a byproduct of devotion. Right? Not byproduct, as a side effect of devotion. Okay, Hare Krishna, our glorious Krishna Prabhupada. Oh, I'm sorry, there's one question that came from the internet. It came from Vinod Kumar, Dubai. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, after meeting a pure devotee, how important is his parampara? It is the parampara of the devotee that will determine whether he is a pure devotee or not. First consideration is his parampara. So, yeah, that of course I should have mentioned also. Find out what is his parampara. Because parampara is essential for pure devotional service. One cannot become a devotee unless he belongs to some parampara. Vaishnava means four parampara. There is no Vaishnava outside this parampara. And those four paramparas are Brahma, Madhva, I'm sorry, Brahma, Rudra, Shri, these four paramparas. Good, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna. How is it? So, you're setting it up? You set up already? Okay. So, now you set up. How long? I'm missing your name. In the same side. Very, very good. So you can put it in L shape if you want. It doesn't have to be L shape. Like you enter. You, as you enter, the right hand side is the lead, the lead is. Take it to the corner. That corner. Two walls. Which move? The two walls? No, two walls are meeting. As you enter, they also go to the corner. And that for them.